Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
So, anybody questions? You can come to the mic, you can write it on your piece of paper, in your notes. Randy's not here to prime the pump. Usually he's always got some good questions. So who wants to be first? Anybody? I didn't do that. Like I said, I mean, there's a lot more I could have shared.
Are we asking questions just on giving, on money in general?
Thank you. You can ask it on money, you know, Christian giving and money that has to do with, you know, with the subject of giving. But I wanted to also say, last week we had someone ask, you know, can I give comments? I really don't want comments. I really want questions. I really want to give the panelists time to answer the questions, because the reason why I have these characters on each side of me, I want you to hear their heart. I want you to hear from our leadership and our wives and hear some of the things that we have to say and share about these things. These are the leadership team that leads this church. And so I think it's important to be able to hear from them. You know, I know a lot of us hear from Suzette, the women do all the time, and Tom a little bit more too, but some are a little more quieter than others, so it's good to hear from them too. So, Betsy, do you think your question would be appropriate for tonight? Then come on up to the mic. But I do want you to come to the mic, because they can't hear it on the CD if you don't speak it into the mic.
So I've heard, I think it's Romans 13:8 that says, "Oh, no man, nothing." And I've heard different perspectives on it of if Christians should use credit cards or like take out student loans. And I was wondering what you thought about that.
I use a credit card for everything, almost, because I like the points they give me at the end. Randy said something very smart, I thought. I never thought about it. He told me this a few years ago, because he uses a credit card for everything too. He said, it's one of the only ways you can actually get money that's tax-free. Did you ever think of your credit card bonus points as tax-free? I never did. I just took it for granted. I thought, that's about the only thing that we can get money-wise that's actually tax-free. But Lori and I pay it off at the end of the month, okay? We never keep a rolling balance on our credit card. And if you're not in a position where we have a very extensive budget, okay? If you're not in a position where you're budgeting and you can do that to where you have the funds in budget to be able to take care of those expenses, then I would encourage you not to go with a credit card, okay? I know there are people in this room that have credit card debt, but your goal should be to get out of debt, because the Bible says, what are we, servant? We're going to be servant. To the debtor is servant to the one that is loaning us the money. Pardon me? To the lender? Yeah, exactly. So should you not? You shouldn't, quite frankly. But do we? We do. And then we suffer the consequences. But I know you have some student loan debt, and so do a lot of others in here. It's interesting, because I was actually counseling someone this morning, and they said, you know, I can go back to school, and I want to do this, and they're going to give me a break on the tuition. And I said, brother, if I were you, I'd believe God on the tuition, and I wouldn't go back to school if you can't pay for it. If he's not going to pay for it, then don't. That would be my advice to this person today, even. You know, so I'm not saying you did the wrong thing. If you got student loans, that's great. Now you got to do what you got to do. But my feeling is, if God wants you to go back to school, can't he provide for it first instead of at the end of it? So that would be my encouragement. Anybody else want to add anything?
Yes. I really, really wanted to go to school when I was at work, and my life kind of got towards the long end of wanting to go to school and never got there. And had a situation at work where my boss wanted to have a meeting with me about who knows what. He said, let's go to lunch next week. And I've been listening on the radio and listening to the Christian radio stations, and they kept throwing the ads on there for the Biola Bold program. And I just went, oh, I got to go there. Somehow I got to go to that. So I actually called him up and had him mail me the brochure, and you know, and I just memorized the thing. And just, oh, I got, oh. So he said, we really need to talk. I went, okay. So I brought this with me just in case, you know, I could just kind of slide it under his arm and say, hey, what do you think? Well, it turns out, he said, you know, we're making some changes at work here, and you're an officer in the corporation, but there's a problem in that you don't have enough letters behind your name. We need you to go to school so that you can get a degree and put letters behind your name. And I went, you got to be kidding. And I flipped this thing right on the table, and he looked at it, and he goes, okay. So I got to go to Wyola. And that was God's plan all along. It didn't cost me a dime. So if it is God's will, you're going to go. And it doesn't matter about your finances or financing, you're going to go. That requires a lot of prayer. That requires a desire in your heart to be what God wants you to be. And I can say that I don't use any part of that business part of the degree at work, but all of the Bible, oh, don't you know, I use every ounce of that. So God really blessed me in a huge way with that. It is God's will. I have to agree.
I should say this while we're waiting for that next person to come up, hint, hint, is I don't believe you should borrow money for anything that depreciates, okay? So obviously it's going to be a little hard to come up with the cash for a house. Fortunately, a house in most economies appreciates over the long term. So, but things that depreciate, I don't think that's a wise thing to borrow for. That's just my opinion, okay? That's not Bible. But I say that because of education. I think that you could make a case for education appreciating you and appreciating your ability for income. So although, like I said, Tom and I have just kind of shared some things negative in that area of student loans, I do think there are times, and you have to be, that's why I started this whole series with the Holy Spirit. It really goes down to that, is you have to really be led by the Holy Spirit and really, really listen to Him. Because there might be times when He is telling you to do something that doesn't make a lot of sense, maybe, in the hard letter of some things that you believe. Just like I don't believe you should be a co-signer for people. And in fact, someone asked me to be a co-signer for them just a few months ago on something, and it's actually hurt our friendship. And this is a lifelong friendship. This has hurt both Lori and I deeply. And I couldn't. I literally laid in bed, just my stomach turning. Could I afford to be their co-signer? Yes. But I just felt like the Lord was telling me, no, 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 no. And I mean, I was literally, my stomach was turning. I was sick inside on this issue. But I really feel strongly that the Bible says, do not co-sign. And I haven't even co-signed for my kids for anything. I just feel like the Bible says don't. Now, I'm not saying you can't or shouldn't for your kids. That's where I would say I may co-sign for Brent for something, but it'd be through a lot of prayer, but it would be very reluctantly. But this was not a family member. This was a very dear friend, and that I do draw the line. I don't think you should. And we still have our friendship, but it's not as close as it was. Because I just couldn't do that. And it ended up, they ended up getting what they wanted, and God provided another way, so that was a good thing. And I think that He will. He doesn't need a co-signer. Anybody else?
It's a little intimidating looking at all you guys out here. I pledge to tell the truth. No. The question I've got, and this is excluding your normal giving, tithing, whatever you want to call it, to church, but there are a lot of different Christian charities that are out there, and you know, you can think Burma, Sudan, Ethiopia, you know, missionary work here, this, that. how do you guys go about, and I think I know the answer, but I just want to kind of hear it from the experts. How do you guys go about and process where God wants, you know, wants you to contribute when there's so many, there's more needs?
I was hoping someone would ask this question, Bob, so thank you. Who wants to go? I think this is a real important question. I think at least half of the people in this room have that same question, quite frankly. Richard, do you want to start? Tom?
I've already talked so much. I want you guys to share your hearts.
I'll
fill in the gaps.
You spoke of Paul encouraging and teaching the Corinthian church on their giving. Now, we have to step back a little bit and say and ask, what were they giving to? What was their purpose in this giving? Where did they get a heart to give? And it was Paul bringing the message of the poverty of the Jerusalem church. Now, we have to kind of grasp the picture of what happened in the Jerusalem church. These are Jews who literally got kicked out of being Jews, so they left their families, their businesses, their friends, every cultural association that they had of being Jewish. They were kicked out. They were no longer clean. They were no longer accepted. They were like dogs now. And so they had no income. They had no families. They had no place to go. They gathered together into some sort of a communal relationship with each other and lived by hand to mouth. And they literally had nothing. Paul saw that and carried that message in his travels on his missionary journeys. The love of the brothers, the love of the Christian church through Jesus Christ towards the brothers is what compelled them to give. So if we take that as an example, if we look at that and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you telling me to give towards? First, it is your home church, where you fellowship. And it's not that you're paying Pastor Steve's salary or Suzette's salary. That's not the point. It's what is the work of the church here? What is this church all about? And even if you can't come up with something, it doesn't matter. We have stuff that we do in the name of Jesus Christ. That's number one. Beyond that, every giving thing that you do should be through prayer. And allow the Holy Spirit to compel you individually. Now, there's gazillions of things you can give towards, don't you know? I mean, there's envelopes that show up at your mailbox every single day for every good thing that's out there. And we have people come here and share about stuff that they're doing here and there and everywhere, and it's all good stuff. But is that what God wants you to help support? I can't answer that. That's up to you and the Holy Spirit and what God compels you to do. You got to pick your battle, and you prayerfully consider that. And when you do that, you prayerfully support that ministry on an ongoing basis, not only with your funds, but with your prayers. You have a heart for that outreach. And that then is your sacrificial giving. That is on top of the tithe. The tithe comes home first. And the offering or the giving beyond that is more. So I hope that kind of fits.
Yeah. And just briefly about our mission giving here in the church. It's always been the heart of Pastor Steve to give beyond our needs here. I mean, the very day one, missions. We want to reach out that we have locally, Mexico, Asia, Israel. And first, Pastor Steve comes up with the mission, then shares it with us, and it's always the lightest administration. I mean, we don't give where there's top-heavy administration costs. It's where the monies go to the work. And like you asked about, you know, there's so many needs around the world. You know, there's places where there's poverty all over. But we don't give to missions that don't teach the gospel. So number one, we're spreading the gospel. That's the key thing. And then meeting those needs of that mission. So that's what we do here in the church. So monies that come in, they're going and they're being used, squeezing a penny, every penny out to do a good work. So you're reaching people around the world, locally and around the world, to save souls. And not just to feed souls, but to save souls.
No, okay. I want to say this. David said, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. So what that means is this. Let's say you're committed to giving $100 a week. Let's just say. And all of a sudden someone calls you up with an urgent need for babies born blind or whatever. Or there's this missionary that comes and just really tugs on your heart. And you say, well, instead of giving my church the $100 a week, I feel really compelled to give to this organization. So I'll just take 50 of that, give it over here, and 50 of that, give it to the church. Has that cost you anything? Is that a sacrifice? Giving is supposed to be sacrificial. When your heart is truly pricked, Bob, and the rest of us, when our hearts are pricked, it should be that we're touched to where it compels us to give a sacrifice. And that's why the Hebrews had all sorts of heave offerings, wave offerings, first fruit offerings, flower offerings, offerings if you got cleansed of this, offerings if you went to the priest for that. They were all beyond the regular tithe, but they were all sacrificial. They had free will offerings. They had sin offerings. But they were sacrifices. The tithe was not a sacrifice. The tithe was already God's. The sacrifice was on top of what was already committed to God. Does that make sense? And so I think when God prompts your heart, you need to give. But I would say don't give cheaply. Give with integrity and give sacrificially. And that means not just shifting around your giving. There are times when God says, you know what? I'm closing this door. You don't have a heart for that ministry. Move it over here. I get that. I have that same thing. But when God prompts my heart to give to someone that's in need or some organization, I don't take it from here and give it to that. I give it sacrificially. It's beyond. And that's what I think. I think it needs to be a sacrifice. So, but this is a personal thing. This is things God's, like I said, I've grown in my area of giving. When I was younger in the Lord, I didn't have near the understanding of giving that I do today. We're all growing in areas, you know, and God challenges us in different things. One thing that happened like 10 years ago that has been just a turn on for me, it's been fun, Laura and I, is I have what's called a blessing fund. So this is different than all my giving. So when the Lord blesses me, you know, in some way, maybe let's say someone gives me an honorarium for doing their wedding. They give me $100. I may take that entire $100, may take half of it or whatever. I take a large portion of it, not just like a tithe, 10%. But oftentimes I just take it all and just put in the blessing fund. Because God's given me this blessing that I didn't expect. Maybe a rebate, whatever. And it's like, how cool is this? It could be, you know, I get a portion of my vacation pay that comes back to me. And it's like, it's money that kind of dropped from heaven. And what I do is I literally put that in a fund and I'm looking for places to bless. And it's really been fun for Lori and I to try to see where God would want us to give those extra blessings that he gives us. So that's been kind of a fun thing that I never knew about or thought about up until about 10 years ago, a blessing fund.
Pastor Steve, we do that too. It's a lot of fun.
It is. Anybody else? Any other questions? We got time for probably one more. Come on up. I know you're really shy, Roy.
Well, I'm not good at getting up.
I know. How many of you are good at getting up to that microphone? You're not going to get too much sympathy from this group.
And I hope I can say what I want to say makes sense, if it makes sense. These days, I think you'll agree, there's so many, as Tom said, so many so-called Christian organizations around, and Richard said that, and I looked into this myself, whenever somebody calls me who says we're doing this for Christianity, I always ask them, what's your administrative costs? And they're astronomical, you know, 70, 75%, 80%, really that high. So I don't give them any money. And then on top of that, there's a lot of these big churches teaching false gospels, and money is coming in, you know, it's sinful, you know. But on top of that, in the days of Paul, they knew where the money was going. Take Ananias and Sapphira, for example. You know, they were struck dead. Everybody knows that. So my question is, what you said about giving, that the percentage has gone drastically. And I'm just talking about Christianity in general. And that is, do you think this part of this may be that people see all the waste going on in the church and missionaries and so on, that they just say, I'm not going to put my money into that?
I do, and I was hoping someone was going to bring that up. Thank you.
I want to ask another question.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mark. You know my feelings on missionaries in general, but I feel that I'll repeat them. There was a guy in here, and I talked to you about this. He was a missionary, and at the end, he said, you know, we need money, and of course they need money because they're being supported by the church. But he said, right now there's 40,000 people who want to go over out of the country to, you know, to do mission work, and they can't get money. And I'm thinking, why don't these people do mission work here? There's so much to do here. You know, they can go around and knock on doors, and they can earn a salary. You know, to me, going overseas, and I can't be totally objective on this, but of course, a lot of the money is supporting their being there. You know, it's administrative, and in the days of Paul, as far as I know, they supported themselves. You know, they didn't. You know, somehow, you know, they were working. Paul was doing tent making or whatever. They were fishermen, etc. So they made their own way. And even now, I think in this country, especially when a guy gets up and says, "We have 40,000 people who need money to go overseas," let them go and do mission work at home. It bothers me a lot, and we've talked about this before. What is your feeling?
Well, okay, I'm past time, so let's kind of sum this up. I think that there's two types of philosophies on mission. Some is like people going, being sent from, you know, like our country to another country, like the gals from Haiti and whatnot. And there's also supporting national missionaries. And my feeling is so money in the organization that has the same philosophy you do. Gospel for Asia is one ministry that we encourage, supportive here. And they are strong in that philosophy, that they can hire, the pastor of the church that we built, we paid his salary for a year for like $750. How, if you were to go to India, it would cost you more than that for 2 weeks for any one of us. So their feeling is maximizing the money, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also something to be said for the value of what takes place in the person themselves when they go on a mission trip. And you need to look at that too. So my feeling is I'm not going to discern one is right or wrong. I'm going to say, you know, let the Lord figure and sort that out, you know. And whatever is in your heart and you feel strong to do, then do that. But like when I have a young person that wants to go out and do a mission trip and they're raising money, I'm sowing money. I have already made a commitment. Lori and I, any young person that wants to do a mission trip, we will support them, and we give them a pretty good gift. And the reason why is not because I think they're going to just turn that place upside down for Jesus, but because of what the work it does in their life. I'm sowing into their life. I understand, Roy. I'm not giving it with expectations, you know, of that. No, don't, because we're 5 minutes over. We just can't. And I got that video. We can talk later. Start that.
I want to say one other thing. Those of you with little ones, I really encourage you to teach them to tithe when they're very young. I mean, it really, really helps. I know we did that, and our girls are, you know, they're really doing well, and they've learned to save, they've learned to tithe, and I just want to encourage you to do that.
Amen. Why don't you close us in prayer? Say something, would you?
Father, we just thank you, Lord, that in giving we can be somehow like you, who you gave the dearest thing to you, your son. And Lord, help us to be able to give with that same grace and that same heart. And Lord, it's not about what we give and who we give it to so much as it demonstrates our love for you when we give. And help us to keep that as a focus of our giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.